Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily political podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Balls and Isabel Hardman for our second shots of the day. Yes, it's one of those days. The Prime Minister had seen off an angry 9-22 committee in the afternoon, but earlier this evening, senior Brexiteer Andrea Leadsom had resigned from the cabinet, putting Theresa May on shaky ground again. Katie, how dangerous do things look for Theresa May now?
So in a way, Andrea Leadsom's departure at the moment doesn't appear to change much. We already knew that Theresa May was heading for the exit door, although we've been saying that for several months, perhaps a year. We knew that it was imminent because she had this, well, today we had the 1922 executive meet, and they made the decision not to change the rules again, but instead Graham Brady is meeting with Theresa May on Friday. And really this time it is the case that if she doesn't then say she's going to go, or say she's going to go straight after the recess, then they would change the rules. So I don't think Andrea Leadsom resigning from cabinet necessarily moves that. There's still a chance that you have more cabinet ministers following. I think that if this sparks more resignations, then it could put on pressure on Theresa May to do something before Friday. But I think that remains to be seen. I think in the meantime, though, it does just show how vulnerable Theresa May is, and also just does give a sense that this is the end of Theresa May's premiership. It is now the point where loyal ministers no longer feel the need to stay on board, and I think they probably have an eye themselves on the leadership challenge that is coming up.
Isabel, can we expect more resignations tonight? And if so, who is on resignation watch?
Well, I think the cabinet are all on resignation watch for Friday, basically. If Theresa May's meeting with Sir Graham Brady, the chair of the 1922 committee, which is planned for Friday, doesn't result in her announcing that she's going, not announcing that she's going to announce that she's going, or announcing some kind of convoluted timetable, or giving one of her strange Downing Street statements where she pretends that
nothing has
absolutely
changed.
Nothing. I wasn't going to say that because it's got a bit hackneyed, but yes. So if none of those things happen, then you won't see cabinet resignations because they will have got what they wanted. But there will be a move against her if she doesn't decide to go with dignity, or whatever dignity she's got left, on Friday. And as Katie said, I think the fact that we're expecting that to happen on Friday means that it's less likely that there are going to be more resignations over the next 24 hours. But having said that, you just don't know. I think there are cabinet ministers who are definitely very angry that their requests to speak to Theresa May were rebuffed because she was busy campaigning in the elections, which conjures up a really interesting mental image of her busy calling people while her other phone is ringing with angry messages from Sajid Javid and Jeremy Hunt saying, "I demand to see you now." And I'm not sure whether that delaying tactic is really going to have helped her that much. But James said on Coffee House earlier that it's really now just about the precise timings of when she's gone by and when the leadership contest really formally starts.
Yeah, and Katie, is Leadsom's resignation all about leadership, or were there legitimate concerns that she had?
I think there were legitimate concerns, and also there's the fact that Andrea Leadsom's cabinet role was leader of the House, and that meant that she is in charge of the legislative agenda. She has to do the government business for each day. So I think it was a role which is particularly incompatible with opposing Theresa May's latest Brexit deal. In her resignation letter, Andrea Leadsom spoke about how uncomfortable she was with Theresa May's pitch on the revamped withdrawal agreement bill to basically give MPs a vote on a second referendum. Now, most people thought this was a safe thing to offer because there's not the numbers, as far as they can tell, in Parliament for a second referendum. But it made a lot of cabinet ministers, including Leadsom, very uneasy, partly because of the messaging you just had for over 2 years, Tory MPs saying they would never countenance a second referendum. And I think there was also a sense, and Leadsom touches on this in her letter, that at cabinet, there was a sense that people had agreed on something, and Theresa May took that further when she made the speech on Tuesday. And that idea that perhaps cabinet ministers weren't being consulted, I think was something that did spur Leadsom on to do that. Now, I think it's clearly a factor in all this that Andrea Leadsom has said that she is interested in running for leader. We know she ran for leader the last time around. She made it to the final two and then stepped aside and Theresa May got the job. But she has indicated that in the upcoming leadership contest, she will want to enter herself. And leaving now, I mean, I don't think that this is going to appeal to the vast majority of Brexiteers in the Conservative Party, because if they want to find a true Brexiteer, they'll probably look to someone who had quit a lot earlier, Boris Johnson, Dominic Raab. Mm. But what I think it does do is it means that she is drawing a line and saying that this part was a step too far for her. And there is a real sense of, I would say, concern amongst cabinet ministers the past day or two, that there were some who did think it was in their interest to have Theresa May stay in place, to slowly prepare their leadership bids. But I think they now think that what she tried to do when she was making all these concessions to various factions of the Commons actually tipped the balance to a point where looking as though you are backing that is pretty toxic to any leadership bid.
And as well, does this put other cabinet ministers in an awkward position where, as Katie said, if they don't resign now, they'll look quite bad as if they're going along with Theresa May's concessions?
I'm not sure about that, but I think that the reason things have suddenly tipped into the end game is that cabinet ministers have realised that to be associated in any way with this Brexit big offer is really toxic for their leadership ambitions, which is why you saw them all starting to plot against Theresa May today, because they just didn't want to be the ones having to go out and do any, you know, defending on the airwaves, or even, you know, in Andrea Leadsom's case, announcing the business which she opposes. I think there is a There's also an interesting thing here, which is about the relationship between Number 10 and Andrea Leadsom, which is that they sort of, I think they'd expected her just to keep trudging on, even though she was about to have to announce something that she disagreed with. And if you talk to MPs, not just Conservatives actually, but Labour MPs who've had to work with her in her role as Leader of the House, there is a surprising amount of sympathy for the way that Leadsom has had to put up with Number 10 treating her pretty badly at times, not just on Brexit, although that's obviously, you know, the reason she's gone tonight, but on other matters that she's responsible for, such as the proxy voting, which she was repeatedly trying to get set up, and she was repeatedly being frustrated on by Number 10, and then sexual harassment as well. I think we probably wouldn't have seen the amount of progress that we have in terms of the way the Commons responds to complaints of sexual harassment had it not been for Andrea Leadsom. Although that said, I'm not sure she fully, as far as I can work out, I'm not sure she fully grasps the detail of what she's ended up setting up. But she has plugged away at things in a way that Number 10 has never really given her credit for. Often things that Number 10 can't be bothered to do, to put any sort of political capital or effort into themselves, or things that Number 10 have been useless on. I remember talking to a number of senior MPs around the time of the proxy voting row, and Julian Smith in particular was in a lot of trouble for frustrating that reform. And the words they used were Andrea's being screwed by Number 10 once again. And I think there was a Number 10 officials, perhaps even Theresa May, had concluded that Leadsom wasn't particularly effective as a minister, but often didn't give her the resources to be able to be as effective as she could possibly be.
Mm. And Katie, we're less than 9 hours away from polls opening for the European Parliament elections. Does this change anything for the Conservatives, make things worse?
Well, it's a strange one, because there are restrictions on what you can report on a day when the public goes to the polls. So there is a chance that tomorrow, if things get quite dramatic, it doesn't get quite the coverage you might expect the Prime Minister leaving office to do. I think there was a sense that if Theresa May could make it through the night, the evening, and we know that she was doing that by refusing to meet her cabinet ministers, then she would have until Friday. It's still the situation that on Friday she is meeting with Sir Graham Brady, and as of yet it doesn't seem as though there's much to change there. And I think so long as Bob was saying earlier, she on Friday is willing to name the fact that she is going imminently, then you might stop this kind of any more resignations happening and this getting any messier than it already is. I think there is still a sense, though, that because Theresa May has not really said much since all this has happened, because we have had a Downing Street spokesperson saying they accept the result of Andrea Leadsom quitting, and the Prime Minister is focused on delivering a Brexit for everyone, that doesn't necessarily suggest that someone's about to move. So I think there's still a chance that on Friday we have more upsets, but it really depends on obviously what the Prime Minister decides to do. And I just think lots of people do feel that she knows it's the end of the road, but then her critics are quite keen to point out that they still think that she might try and fight on to stay a bit longer, and she really does want to pass this deal because she wants her legacy to be that she passed some form of Brexit deal. So
or I passed think anything could, for that matter.
Exactly. So I think it's still, it could get messier yet.
Katie and Isabel, thanks very much. And Andrea Leadsom actually did a podcast with Katie earlier this year for her Women with Balls podcast series. To listen to it, go to spectator.co.uk/balls. In it, Andrea Leadsom reflects upon her mistakes in a 2016 leadership campaign against Theresa May, as well as her track record in government. Thanks for listening, and do join us again tomorrow.